A boat gently rocks beneath you, the waves lulling you side to side. A haunting voice calls to you on the cool sea air. You reach out. You've been lured in by the Siren Sisters. Hi, I'm Audrey.
Hi, I'm Ash.
Welcome back to Siren Sisters. We have a little disclaimer at the top here. We are covering children-centric content, but we will be cursing. So the podcast is not child-friendly. Sorry.
Not sorry.
I mean, not really, though. So
don't listen to this with your kids. These Barbie movies are for us adults.
Yes. These Barbie movies are for millennials who are now adults.
Yes.
Oh, man, this is great. So we're going to be ranking all of the mermaid-centered Barbie movies. There are a couple of Barbie movies that do have a mermaid in them or like a couple of mermaids in them, but they're not about mermaids. We really maybe get like two. So quick shout out to Fairytopia, where Prince Nalu and a couple of other mermaids make their first appearance. I gave it a 3 out of 5. Solid movie.
I didn't even watch it because Audrey told me not to.
No, it's
not
fine.
Enough mermaids. Not worth our time.
No, not enough mermaids. And then Fairytopia Mariposa. There are two mermaids in that one that help them collect this sacred item. And those mermaids talk with valley accents.
Oh my God.
They're valley girls. It's great. Wow. It's only, I skipped to that scene. I did say 2 out of 10 mermaid scales. They were cute, and I like that they were valley girls. Did not finish movie.
DNF. Not worth our time.
Nope. But yeah, and that's it. So, alrighty, we're ready.
I'm so excited. We have 6 other movies to rank for you. We watch them individually and have come together as a team to rank them for you by our personal opinions, and that's all that matters because it's our podcast.
So we're gonna start at the bottom here. There are 6 movies overall, so we're gonna start with number 6, and hold on, number 6 was Fairytopia Mermaidia. I enjoyed this movie, though. The animation is old,
scary.
It does pick up after Fairytopia, the first one. So like the villain in it, I was like, oh, fun. I got to see what happened to her after I watched Fairytopia.
I did like the villain.
Mm-hmm. I liked the fungus boys. They're gross. And I liked that.
See, I didn't like them.
No, here's the thing. They are also pretty anti-Semitic, which is...
They are. Yes. I've just learned about that.
Yeah, it's a problem that happens in a lot of the early Barbie movies. And because a lot of the villains are like witches and play on old fairy tale tropes, and a lot of old fairy tales are super anti-Semitic. So, you know, we don't condone that at all. We don't like it. The Bibble features heavily in this one.
Yeah, see, I'm not that into Bibble. Like, again, I think it was the animation, but I was like, why are you in the water? Like, I don't know.
I really did like that snail shell, though.
The snail show was cool.
Yeah, I was like,
that. What was her name?
Oh, I have no idea.
No, I didn't write it down.
She was some kind of thing of the sea, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
And she opened up her shell, and it was the playset of my dreams.
She's the oracle. That's right. She's the oracle.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
And she opened up her shell, and there was a playset inside.
Yeah, she's cute.
I was like, ooh, branding. Yeah, I would buy that.
I love that, like, all the accessories in these movies, like, they look like plastic Barbie accessories, and that was, like, my favorite thing.
I love that. I don't know what it is, but I love that about Barbie movies. They look like the dolls, like, just straight up, you know? And it's kind of nice. It's because when I watch Disney movies and then I see that the doll is like really messed up looking, it is disappointing to me. Like I want it to, I want it to look how it looked in the movie. And these Barbie movies do that. And I love it.
Yeah, I think that's like unique. And I don't know, I just like it. I guess that's what you get when you get movies based off of dolls. But like,
like the Bratz movies?
Yeah, they look the same, don't they?
They sure do. It's so horrifying. I find the Bratz movies to be worse than the Barbie movies, personally. But it's my preference. All right. Yeah. Well, that's why it's number six. Oh, yeah. What did you give it for a mermaid scale?
Mermaid scale, I gave it 5 out of 10 because we got a lot of time as Barbie or whatever her name is in this movie. Alina. Alina as like a fairy with legs. So we get a lot of time. Like it is, it was half and half for me. And then she turns into a mermaid, which is fine. Mm-hmm. Or like she's underwater without a tail at first. Is that what happens?
Yeah. Yeah. She's underwater without a tail for a while.
Yeah. I'm like, that's bullshit. Give me a tail. Whatever.
Give me a stupid tail. I liked that she had to,
yeah,
like,
I don't want a fairy.
I love fairies.
I mean, fairies are nice, but put them underwater with their wings, it doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. I think coming off of Fairytopia, I rated it way too high for, because I gave it a 9 out of 10 for mermaid scale. What? I know. Oh my God. I said 9 out of 10 scales, all mermaid stuff all the time, baby.
No.
Because that friend, the brunette, was in there.
Nori.
Yeah, Nori.
I wrote down that she's a bitch.
She was a huge cunt.
She was mean to her.
She was, yeah. She tried to ditch her a lot.
Yeah, she did.
She was just jealous about Prince Nalu. But anyway, of course it would never work between a fairy and a mermaid. They live in different areas. Stupid. Stupid Nori. Anyway, but I liked that her giving up her wings. So in the first movie, she wasn't born with wings. Mm-hmm. So it was like a big sacrifice for her to give up the wings that she had worked so hard to get. And I liked that she did that, and it was a show of friendship. And honestly, it's a solid movie for me. I like it.
That's fair.
I think I do have some nostalgia for it because I did watch that one when I was little.
Mm, yeah. That would definitely make a difference.
Absolutely. Okay, number five, Barbie Dolphin Magic.
Dolphin Magic.
I hated how the dolphins looked, like, anatomically. I loved their colors. And I liked their little sparkly bits, you know?
Yeah, the colors were cute. And I feel like they looked like toys, not in a bad way.
Yeah. I didn't like their faces, you know? I thought they looked weird.
Yeah, and I was kind of confused why they had, like, cutie marks that, like, disappeared when they got separated and came back when they were together.
Yeah. Also,
like, it wasn't plot point.
No, it wasn't. Why are they special? Why, like, other than them being cute, you know? Like, what's the magic with them?
What's a gemstone dolphin? Why does it matter?
Exactly. We never get that question answered. They're just like, oh, no, they're just special. And it's like, okay, I guess. Like, there wasn't any, you know, devastation when their magic was separated, and there wasn't any, like, consequences.
It was just sad.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just like, oh, no, you're separating a family, which, like, that is sad. Absolutely. But
yeah, don't do that.
I was just like, why are they magic? What is their magic for, you know?
Yeah, apparently nothing.
Nothing at all. And we got a lot of really random mermaid lore that wasn't really followed through anywhere else.
Yeah. I liked that we got, not related to mermaids, but I liked that it was like Barbie and her family were characters instead of like Barbie as the main character.
I like that too.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm, I agree.
Like, Josh walked in when I was watching one, and he was like, okay, so it's Barbie. I was like, no, it's like Barbie cast as the main character in the movie. He's like, what?
Barbie's an actress, okay?
She's playing a character.
These are the movies that she does. And that's why her name is not always Barbie.
It was like Barbie. It's Barbie's real life. It's like a documentary.
It's like a documentary where Barbie met mermaids.
Yeah. And Ken was a marine biology intern.
I know. That was cute. That. I was like, wow, Ken, giving like college degree. Love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I really liked the dynamic between all of the sisters and mm-hmm. How they just take in this random stranger. Where's
yeah,
their,
they sure do.
Where's their stranger danger sense?
Yeah, the mermaid turns into a human and meets them, and they're like, oh my god, you should spend our vacation with us in our bungalow and sleep with us.
Imagine.
Cool.
Imagine. Never.
Absolutely never. Not.
If my sister, like Michelle and I, well, actually, if all three of us were on vacation, we had like our own little beach house, and we heard like, oh, I'm just a lonely little girl who, like, doesn't have a place to sleep tonight. I'm going to sleep on the beach. We'd be like, oh, man, that sucks. You should call somebody. And then we walk away.
Yep. Bye.
maybe we're just assholes. I don't know.
That's how you get murdered, man.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I rated it a 4 out of 5 movie, which is generous. I should have rated it 3. I don't know why I rated it so high. Maybe because it might be because of Ken.
Honestly, he adds a point.
He did. And then 7 out of 10 mermaid scales, because I liked the transformation that Alia, what's her name? Lori?
Isla.
Yes, I liked Isla's transformation.
Yes.
And I liked that we got a little bit of mermaid magic with the shell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I rated it a 3 out of 5. Mm. Phantom 4 out of 5 for Ken. And I did a 5 out of 10 mermaid scale. It could have gone up a little bit, but I was mad that she like immediately turned into a human.
I know. Yeah. I did like
it's
her
always
little...
a damper.
I liked her weird little, like, oh my god, a human life. Wow. So yes. Maybe that's why I gave it a little bit more.
Yeah. I think I go for, like, the literal tail screen time, and then that's it.
You
I
know
don't
what?
Give any vibes.
I think that's probably better. Because my ratings are very inconsistent.
I'm like what you like. It's fine.
In my brain, I'm just like, yeah, no, there's mermaids in this. We get mermaids.
Yeah, 10 out of 10.
There was technically a mermaid on screen this whole time. Wow.
Yeah, right, right, yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay. So, drum roll. Number 4, Barbie, A Mermaid Tale. I have I have more notes for this one than I do for all the others.
I have a lot of notes.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I wrote, Aaliyah's a surfer whose hair suddenly turns pink. She can breathe underwater and talk to dolphins. She like swims away from the swim meet. She's actually the daughter of a mermaid and she didn't know that because her parents are dead. She lives with her grandpa. The surfer slang is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And there's a pink dolphin named Zoa. Also, Aaliyah is a mermaid princess, of course. The current ruler of Mermaidia or Atlantis, whatever they're in.
Oceania? Is that this one?
Yeah.
Oceania, yes.
Yeah, she's the ruler of Oceania. Is an evil cunt, and now Aaliyah is of age, and she can go and take back the throne and restore the rightful ruler so they can keep making Marillia, which is the life force of the ocean, and only the royal family can make Marillia. There's mermaid discrimination against legs. Mermaid City is LA. 10 out of 10 for the tail makeover scene. We get an emo version of a mermaid. We get Snoop Doggy Dog. We get bright pink British. And finally, she has a top and a tail that matches her, like her colorway, you know, like it's just soft pinks. Finally. Mm-hmm. Why didn't they start there? There's also a scene mermaid. So like scene, the fashion sense, the three oracle or no, the three fates. They're like psychics.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all seen teens. And I loved
yes,
it.
Yes, they were cute.
They were reading Heiress to Filth. They were like, you have to use product in your hair. And I was like, who are you, children? But yeah, they're sassy and I liked it. It was fine. I didn't make any notes after that. After that, I was kind of like, yeah, mermaid plot. Oh, I did notice, like, so the queen's still making Marilia. Eris has the queen captured. She can't make good Marilia because she's sad. And it's like, Eris is stupid.
Yeah.
Like, real stupid.
Yeah, she's real dumb.
Not smart. Not smart.
Yeah.
But she can
that was a little weak for me.
Yes.
Yeah, she can make whirlpools.
Yeah. I liked
her. That was pretty cool.
Orangey magic.
Yeah. I liked her aesthetic. I wrote down incorrect jellyfish anatomy. I don't remember why. I think maybe they were like electrified or something.
Yeah, I think so. And I was like,
that's not how jellyfish work.
It's not.
Also, there was an underwater sea otter. Like, one of their friends was a sea otter, and he was just, like, down with them. Yeah.
For the whole time.
He was just underwater all the time. Like, the deep ocean.
I know. Oh, man. In my brain, I was like, they've got to be close to the shore, right? Because she, like, swam out there in a day, you know?
Right. And that's the thing. Is like, all of these mermaid cities are, like, 50 feet underwater, and that's it.
I know.
They're, like, right there.
Yeah. Like, what? How are you not being discovered constantly?
Yeah. It's real close.
just wild. I did like that you could tell everybody was underwater. Sometimes with like mermaid stuff, once they're in the water with the mermaids, it's kind of just like a blue background, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But this one, they had like kept having bubbles. They kept like things flowing pretty nicely.
Yeah.
I liked her evil fish.
Yeah.
They were fun. Oh, and I like that little, oh gosh, I used to know what they're called. He's like a little dragonfish. They're the leafy, he's like a leafy seahorse.
Yeah.
There's a name for it and I'm not remembering right off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'm with you.
He had the one brain cell in that
team. He did. Yeah.
It was great.
I wrote down that Merlia finally turns into a real mermaid at one point, and I did not like her tail very much. It was like pink and orange, like 60s flowers, which again is on brand for Barbie because that's like when Barbie came out and stuff. But I don't know. It wasn't really my vibe, and I was kind of disappointed in it. Mm-hmm. It just looked like a Barbie outfit, but not in like a cute way to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a one shoulder top with like a flower or something. I don't know. I just wasn't into it.
No, it wasn't my fave. Nah, yeah, don't like it. I do really like that she was like, oh my God, I have pink streaks in my hair. I'm a freak.
Yes.
Like cackling at that. It was very funny. But I did like her wavy hair.
Mm-hmm. It was cute.
Yeah. Especially after she transformed.
Yeah.
Because the ponytail.
I was confused.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, continue talking about her hair. I'm going to change the subject.
Oh, sure. No, I was just like, the ponytail was fine, but it was basic. That's it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree. Mm-hmm. I was confused because when she figured out that she was able to breathe underwater, they made it seem like she was able to do that, like, the whole time.
Yes, that's correct.
And I was like, whoa, I guess it would be hard to discover that, but, like, what?
I think it happened when she became of age. So it probably happened, like, on her birthday, which I'm assuming was that day, right?
I guess, yeah. Maybe it all happened when she got the pink streak.
Yeah, I guess. Well, and that's what I'm thinking. It's like maybe now, like maybe it's like half birthdays in Oceania. I don't know, which is why she wasn't celebrating. But it made sense to me that like after she got the pink streaks, like she got her mermaid period and now she has her mermaid powers ish. But sure. I don't think she could breathe water before that point in time.
That would make sense. Yeah. She was also, like, upset to be a princess or, like, a mermaid princess. She was like, I'm a freak. I'm like, bitch, you're a mermaid. Why are you so upset?
She's like, I just want to surf. I want to go home.
Yeah. I was like, girl, you have a mom.
Okay. Thank you. Because the whole time I was like, if you thought your parents were dead your whole life, wouldn't you be more emotional or more like moved to find out that you have a mom who's like super special and magic is real?
Like, yeah, magic is real, mermaids are real, you're a princess, you're part of the royal line, you can make Marilia to keep the sea alive, but like, I just want to surf.
I was
not relatable.
No. I was like, wow, Barbie is not, or Aaliyah is not Merlia. Merlia. Well, they call
her name's Merlia.
They call her Merlia in the ocean and they call her Aaliyah on land. Which I was like, why? For yeah. Why? Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, it was rough.
Yeah. I gave this one an 8 out of 10 mermaid scale though.
I think I did too. Let me take a look real quick. oh no, I was looking at the first one. So this one I gave a 10 out of 10 mermaid scales, probably because of those scene kids. but I gave it a 3.5 for movie.
Same, 3.5 out of 5.
Nice.
Yeah.
Bang, in the can. We got it. Okay.
Yeah.
You can do the next ones.
Okay, what number are we at? Three?
Mm-hmm.
Number three, we rated Barbie Mermaid Power, which is the newest release.
Woo!
It just came out like a week or so ago. We just watched it.
Mm-hmm. And this one we did get to watch together, which yeah. was nice.
So. That was great.
10 out of 10. Would recommend.
Yes. So this one is like a sequel to the Dolphin one.
Yes.
Which in general, I liked the sequels better than the first ones.
Mm-hmm.
So we get immediate mermaids from the get-go. I had a +1 mermaid scale for that. We're like introduced to the city again. And I liked that there was mermaids of all types and colors and shapes. We get Marlo back, which is the bad guy from the first Dolphin movie who just keeps trying to sell things for money.
Right. She wants to discover that mermaids are real. And she also wants to profit with a capital
yes.
P.
Yes. That's her only motive, which, you know, whatever, I guess. So we
capitalists, I tell you what.
Yeah, yeah. back under the ocean, there's a confusing pearl ceremony to find the mermaid avatar who can control all of the elements. Yes. So, like, there's like a 11 that get chosen for the ceremony or something.
I think it was 8.
Yeah. I don't know, but they were missing 2 for mm-hmm. some reason. And Isla was like, I know 2 people. So she goes and gets Barbie and Barbie.
Who is not? Okay. Barbie Malibu Roberts, not a mermaid. Barbie no. Brooklyn Roberts, not a mermaid.
Not a mermaid.
Why would these 2 be the ones that the ocean is choosing? But whatever. Right? Whatever.
Yeah. I guess the other 2 mermaids who were chosen, like, didn't show up that day, so they got kicked out.
There were so many other mermaids there, though, who wanted right. to be chosen. Like,
yeah,
what? I don't get it.
Yeah. So she goes to get those 2 and was like, hey, guys, do you want to come duke it out with some other mermaids for some powers? And they're like, yeah, we're in. So well, they get transformed into mermaids. Everybody.
Yeah. So I think she gets, like, Isla doesn't talk to them yet. Her shell glows and she's like, oh, guess we better jump into the ocean and become mermaids. And Barbie Brooklyn Roberts is like, what? Excuse you? And she's like, yeah, actually magic is real, mermaids are real, and I have a mermaid surprise. Friend who gave me a shell. And
yeah.
Barbie Brooklyn Roberts is like, okay, I guess I'm just gonna go with the flow, I suppose. And she was the only one reacting normally.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
All the others, yeah. So I guess they turn into mermaids and they swim down to Oceania or whatever city it is. Some kind of ocean pun.
This one, it was different. It was called something else.
Yeah.
I don't know. Remember what it was, but it was like
Sea Town or something. The ocean related puns are always iffy.
No, fine. It's right here. Okay. So this one, this mermaid city is called Pacifica.
Oh, damn it.
Pacifica.
Of course it's Pacifica.
Isn't that the name of that girl in Gravity Falls?
Yes. Pacifica Northwest, right?
Yes, Pacifica Northwest.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so good. Okay. But yes, they Barbie and Barbie are summoned by Isla to compete to be the underwater power keeper, which the golden pearl, the clit of the ocean. I'm sorry. It was. The golden pearl will choose a power keeper to bring balance to the four elements of mermaid magic and also be their safety keeper person for like the next 100 years. So
yeah, it seems like a big commitment, but sure.
I suppose.
How long do mermaids live?
Thank you. We don't know. We have no idea.
If Barbie wins, does she have to stay under the ocean for 100 years?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, there's no way Barbie can be this power keeper, because then 100 years under the ocean, and she can't do all of the other Barbie things that she's got to do, which involves...
Right, Barbie has shit to do.
It involves taking care of her three younger sisters.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Taking them on lavish, expensive vacations.
Exactly. Because she was an astronaut. Barbie.
Right. She's an astronaut. She's a lawyer. She's a baker. She's a doctor. She can be anything.
She has a dream house. She can do what she wants. Yeah. I guess Ken would try. But I don't think Ken has had that many jobs.
No.
Yeah. So anyway, that's why I wasn't surprised when the power keeper was not Barbie.
Yeah, same. Because how are we going to explain this?
Exactly. Barbie lore. Yeah,
but we find out, like, each mermaid, like, has a different type of magic, just, like, naturally.
Yeah.
And so there's, like, water mermaids, air mermaids, fire mermaids, and earth mermaids.
Let me tell you why this is exactly like Naruto. In Naruto, so everybody has like life force or energy or chakra, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But you can be like air type, so you're naturally more inclined to do air type chakra. That's the same. Right. It's the same thing. It's
exactly the same thing.
It's the same thing. They got more air chakra.
Yeah. And they had like these gladiator games where they tried to do things with their powers, and like people would be like really good at one,
yeah,
and they would have like a magical transformation and be like, I'm an air mermaid. And we find out that Isla's an air mermaid,
which is why she could breathe on land when she transformed into a human. And I was like,
yeah,
that seems OP. That seems pretty powerful.
Yeah, like no one else can turn into a human.
I think they can turn into a human, but I guess they wouldn't be able to breathe? Question mark?
What's the point?
I don't know. That was my big problem with this movie, because I did not rate it very high on the movie scale. I was like, this lore doesn't match up with the other lore. Also, where are the gemstone dolphins that Isla's best friends with? They were like just swimming around together in the first one. Randomly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I was right. I thought the gemstone dolphins were gonna like make a little appearance in this one.
Yeah.
And like the powers didn't quite make sense. I was like, why doesn't every mermaid do this and they all figure out what kind of mermaid they are? Why is it just
all mermaids have powers?
I think.
But only these eight might be the Avatar mermaid.
Yeah, it was confusing. It was very confusing.
Yeah, they introduced a lot of new lore and didn't really back it up.
No, not at all. They did a lot of, like, hand-wavy explaining. It's a children's movie.
Sure.
It's fine.
Not for us, but sure.
I mean...
it's serious business for us.
Well, here's the thing. They made it too complicated, I think. Because it's like, if you're going to have all this lore, like, commit to it, you know? And I don't think they did. I think they just were like, oh, no, this is just the situation that we want to write. So we're just going to, like, it's fine. It's like, okay, whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, they do these stupid trials, and they don't seem that hard.
No.
Yeah, we do get to see a shark. I love a shark and a narwhal. And I was like, ooh, yeah. I love that. And there was a special kind of dolphin. It was, it.
Yeah.
And it's a real kind of dolphin. Oh, gosh. I'm not going to find it. It's okay. It's like a veritipa-pa-pa-pa.
Yeah. I'm with you.
It was a special dolphin. Yeah. And they do their games. The games kind of get interrupted. Oh, and they have to figure out who the mermaid keeper or power keeper is before the mermaid moon, which happens.
Oh, yes.
The mermaid moon. Very important. The mermaid moon.
Right. Which that lore was introduced to us by Marlo, who was like, hey, the mermaid moon, all the mermaids pop out of the ocean to like soak up the moon or whatever. They and I'm going to catch them all. And I was like, why am I learning about this lore from Marlo and not from the mermaids?
I know. When they do that little golden pearl ceremony, they do mention the mermaid moon, but they don't explain what it is. So I kind of liked Marlo explaining it because she's giving a talk in front of all her esteemed colleagues who think she's a crackpot. Sure.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And her little cutouts. That she used for the demonstration was very funny.
Yes.
But she gets questioned like, why do you think this is real? And she's like, well, my grandma told it to me.
Yeah, no valid. Just nothing.
Nothing to back it up. Lady,
no.
Are you a scientist? I don't think she's a real scientist.
How does she have any standing in the scientific community after trying to hawk those dolphins off?
How did she get the budget for that fucking submarine?
Yeah, all of her funding would have been taken away when she tried to steal and sell those dolphins and got caught.
Right. I'm flabbergasted. Just flabbergasted. Honestly. But she also was like, oh, my grandma had this tiara that she found on a rock in the middle of the ocean that, like, nobody could have gotten to. And it's a mermaid tiara. And she keeps that with her the whole movie. And it's important later for Barbie.
How'd your grandmother get to it if nobody could get to the rock?
They explain that.
They do?
They do. To explain it, yeah. Okay, so I will we'll go through the plot. I don't know, how much of the plot do you want to go through, because I think we're nearing up to the end.
Harlow ends up capturing some of the younger sisters as mermaids,
one of those mermaids is Aquaria, who is a disabled mermaid who had a false tail made for her by her dad, and I liked it.
It was really nice.
Mm-hmm, I liked it a lot. They get captured in Marlo's submarine.
Yeah. And Marlo's like, yo, I got some mermaids. They're going to believe me. And then somehow Barbie finds out about it. And she like swims up to the submarine and is like, hey, Harlow, what if you didn't do this? I guess. And what makes the submarine break down?
I want to say it's the giant trash island. So
that is a big part of it, I guess.
Which is valid. So in the middle of the ocean, there is the giant trash patch. This is a conglomeration of a lot of polluted debris that's ended up in the ocean. It is real. It exists. It's very, very sad. Let me get one more stat for it. Yeah, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. I want to say it's like a mile wide at least. I just want to know how big it is because it's really, really big. Ooh, that's not great. Okay. Oh, that's way more than I thought. Oh, no. Okay, so, oh boy, this is very sad. So, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch is 1.6 million square kilometers. Yes.
What?
Yes. It is huge. It's huge. Wow. So they have this great garbage patch, like, floating over Pacifica on, you know, the deadline for the Mermaid Moon, and they've got to just they've got to figure out who the power keeper is before they can destroy the patch to, it's, you know, they need to destroy the patch so they, the Mermaid Moon can, like, shine on them and the rocks can rise up and they can do their ceremony. But yeah. I think part of the garbage patch runs into the submarine.
Sure.
That feels correct because it, like, blocks out the sun. And so during that confrontation, Barbie's like, Marlo, come on, be reasonable. And she's like, my grandma was a mermaid and that's why I have this tiara. And she told me these secrets and nobody believed her and they thought she was crazy. But I believed her because she was my grandma. And I was like, all right, sure. We've seen Merlia, you know, she's a human child of a mermaid. So it's like,
sure, yeah, it happens.
Sure. But that's why.
Okay, because her grandma was a mermaid. Yes. I forgot that part.
Yeah, she fell in love. She became human and went on land. So, you know, and had generations follow her. But Marlo gives the tiara that her grandma had to Barbie. And that is what helps Barbie figure out what her powers are and helps her transform, which I think she was an air mermaid.
I think she was a water mermaid.
Yes, she was a water mermaid, which I in my brain is like redundant. I don't know, whatever. That's right. It's fine. So they're working together now. They go back to the giant patch and they're like, hey, I have my powers now. We can all work together to, like, you know, destroy the garbage patch.
Well, here's the thing. Before that, the submarine, like, implodes.
It does.
And fills with water. And Marlo has had an assistant this whole time. This, like, dude with crazy Einstein hair. And he was in the submarine. And he just disappears.
He just disappears. I have a feeling we might have missed him escaping in the background or something. But
maybe?
I have no idea. I haven't gone back to rewatch it. But in my brain right now,
I think he died.
I think he dies, too. I think he's dead. Yeah. I think they murder him off screen. Explodes,
fills with water. And Barbie saves Marlo by using her magic necklace to turn Marlo into a mermaid.
Yes, but we don't see we don't see that guy turn into a mermaid.
He doesn't get turned into a merman. He's just gone. I think he's dead.
I think he drowned.
Yeah. He's still in that submarine.
He's bones.
Yeah. So anyways, they swim back to the others and we're like, hey, Marlo's helping us now because she should have just been a mermaid this whole time. That would have fixed all of her problems.
Exactly. I agree. She doesn't have to be a capitalist anymore.
Right. There's no capitalism under the ocean.
No, they have mermaid law.
Yes.
They have the power keeper or whatever. So they all go back to shoot their powers at the garbage patch and try and destroy it so the Mermaid Moon can shine down on all of them. And they're like, Barbie, you're a water mermaid? I thought you might be the power keeper. And she's like, no, the power keeper is... that girl's name, Aquaria, our cute little friend who, like, has a disabled tail. And Aquaria's like, what? It's me? And then she's like, wait, it is me. And then she transforms.
Oh, you're right.
She was like, yeah, it did take believing in myself for this to happen, I guess. Okay. Yeah.
And she has a magical Sailor Moon transformation.
Oh my god, I forgot! I forgot to mention, every time they figure out what their mermaid like element is, they have a Sailor Moon magical girl, magical mermaid transformation. And I was screaming, I think, if I remember right.
It was beautiful.
Okay, yeah. Great. Great. I didn't remember.
But no, they were good.
They were really good. The first one was the best one because it was the mm-hmm. first time it happened. So they always give it just a little bit more time. And right. then they were kind of like, not rushed, but, you know, a little more condensed as they went mm-hmm. Throughout. But they all get magical mermaid tiaras when they figure out their element. The men get bracers for some reason. No crowns.
Very gendered for no reason.
Yeah, no crowns for them, I guess. When Aquaria transforms into the Power Keeper, her crown was just a piece of coral. And everybody else had, like, pearls and, like, motifs, and it looked mm-hmm. more elegant. And hers was just coral. And I was like,
okay.
One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah.
But they all work together with their magic powers and destroy the garbage patch, which is great. Wish they could do that in real life. Anyway.
They just kind of use their magical powers to make it go away. Mm-hmm. Which, mm-hmm. I don't know. I it's nice to, like, use something real that's a problem in a movie to draw attention to it, but I think it's also kind of odd to just, like, oh, and now we can magic it away.
Right.
You know? Because it's actually a real problem that's still here.
Yeah. And, like, they do say, okay, oh, we have to talk about the mermaid queen who is bright blue.
Oh, God.
She had the weirdest color scheme. She looked like the genie, but, like, more saturated.
Yeah, it was, like, oversaturated. My TV couldn't even handle it. It was weird.
It was odd. I wonder if the color balance was not what it should have been, but I don't know.
Maybe.
But she basically was like, you know, the best way that you girls can help after this mermaid moon celebration is by going back to land and spreading awareness about this problem and, you know, working with the humans to make it stop. And I was like, sure. Okay. We're hand-waving. We have our platitudes in here. We're okay. Mm-hmm. But no, it does feel a little bit like, okay, well, all right. The mermaid moon happens and they all party and dance. And yeah, then they go back to their normal lives, I guess.
Sure.
It ends with that, like, picture of them all posing together.
Yeah, that was cute.
It was. I really liked the animation. Everyone is super mm-hmm. cute and adorable, and I really liked the ponytail physics on Skipper. I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
Was it Skipper or was it... No, it was Stacy. I liked
Stacy.
Yeah, Skipper's the alternative Barbie. Skipper's the alternative. Stacy is the sporty, and Chelsea is, like, the sweet baby angel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, of course she is. She's adorable. I liked how their hair changed color when they became mermaids. Mm-hmm. I liked the color of their tails mm-hmm. and their mermaid transformations, of course. Their mermaid crowns were all unique and interesting. And I liked that we had a lot more diversity in skin color, even, you know, beyond the, like, bright blue. But there were just more shades of, like, actual more melanated people, you know?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And I like Barbie Brooklyn Roberts. She's cool.
I do, too.
I like her a lot. And she sings good.
Yeah.
It did feel like everyone was trying to sound like Ariana Grande just a little bit.
Yeah, it did. You're not wrong.
Aquaria is the biggest criminal in that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was good. It was fun. I think I rated it a little low. I think I was disappointed because it was a little short. And
yeah.
So it was like a solid 3.
I gave it a 3.5.
I that's very fair. I did give it, why did I give it a 9 out of 10 on the mermaid scale? This is 10 out of 10 on the mermaid scale.
I gave it a 9 out of 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, there were some human scenes.
There were, yeah. And that guy died. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, 9 out of 10 mermaid scales. That sounds good. I did give the songs a 2 out of 5.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Which has...
Yeah, they were bops, but, like, I don't remember them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fine. You know, they weren't bad songs. They were just like, eh. Yeah. It was no Princess and the Pauper, I'll tell you that.
You're right. What about?
Wow.
I did enjoy the, like, conversations they had around the mermaid with the tail difference. Mm-hmm. And, like, her brother always, like, kind of tried to baby her and be like, well, she needs extra help. And Stacy's like, I don't know, seems like she's doing fine on her own.
Yeah, like,
and, like, it was a lot of good conversation. Right. It's like, I liked that they didn't try to ignore it.
Yeah.
It's like, the disability still exists, and it's a thing that, like, she brought up and told Stacy. It's like, hey, yeah, this is my tale that my dad made me. Like, oh, okay, cool, yeah. And then they talked about it, and then they, like, moved on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, like, she didn't want to be treated differently, and she didn't have to be.
I also really liked that. Because all the other mermaids treat her like she's a little kid, and, like, she's weak. So like having that difference, I think helped. And I liked that when they brought it up, it was, because Skipper and Stacy were trying to do handstands and they like fall over. And then, Aquaria is like, oh, I can do that. That's super easy. And she like does it perfectly. And they're like, oh my God, how do you do that? And she's like, oh, well, I have a special tail. And she's like, here's what my special tale's about. And they were like, whoa, that's so cool. And it wasn't like, you know, oh, I noticed your tail is weird and like not shaped like other tails. Mm-hmm. Which it was visibly different. Like it had that kind of shell scalloped edge and everybody else had
he like made it out of a shell.
Yeah, which was really cool. I liked every part of that. I thought they did that super, super well. Actually, I am going to bump up my rating. 3.5. 3.5 for sure.
Yes, we convinced ourselves.
Yes, yes.
I mean, we talked about that one the most, so I feel like it deserves its spot at number 3 at least.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was like, okay, time for number 2. Because I did 3 in the beginning, and you can do the last 3.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Oh, boy. Man.
I am a podcast princess. Just leave me around.
Okay, great.
Okay, okay. So number 2, we rated Mermaid Tale 2.
What a
the sequels were better.
They were. Oh, man.
It was good.
It was good. And I didn't write notes. Because I was just watching it.
See, I also don't have a lot of notes on this one.
My note is, you know, the title of the movie, Barbie and Mermaid Tale 2. And then, genuinely good movie? Question mark, question mark, question mark.
Yeah. Like, I have a lot of mermaid scale points written down for it. Like, in the beginning, we get an immediate mermaid transformation, which is always great for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Perfect, perfect.
Kylie got a tail transformation. I don't remember who Kylie was.
I'm just gonna pull up the movie real quick.
I think that would be good.
Oh, the plot synopsis is very big. Oh, okay, okay. So we get that mermaid tail transformation right at the beginning. It's a year after the events of the first film. Merlia Summers. Her name was Merlia the whole time. I thought it was Aaliyah.
Nah, it was Merlia, babe.
Oh.
They call her Leah.
Oh, I'm stupid. Okay, okay, great. I'm glad it's just me. So Merlia's competing in surf heats. She's like, she has a rival named Kylie. And
That's Kylie. Okay.
Yeah. And Kylie's like really good at surfing, but she's also a bitch.
She's also Australian.
Yes, she's Australian, and they're in the finals in Australia. So Merlia uses her magical necklace to transform into a mermaid to tell her mother, like, hey, I'm, you know, making these heats in, you know, I'm doing a good job at surfing. And Queen Calissa is preparing for a special ceremony for the changing of the tides. And it's to help keep, it's being held off the coast of Australia at this special ancient mermaid city where this ancient mermaid civilization used to live. And they're descended from the royals from that city.
And yeah, and the ceremony is like to continue to be able to make Marilia, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. It's performed every 20 years to make the next princess of Oceania an official member of the royal family. So, oh, I see. Interesting. I wonder if that's... I don't know. Because it has to do with Marilia. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. That's what it is. When you sit on the throne and you say the special words and the moon's in the right place, you get the power to make Marilia and you become, like, basically a member of the royal family. Like...
Okay.
That's kind of what it is. It has to be a member of the royal family, and you have to be sitting on the throne at that time. And it, like, you know, gives you the power to make Marilia. So anyway, the queen is like, you know, you gotta come to this special ceremony because it's, like, really important to our people and our culture, and, like, you'll get a special power. And Marilia's like, but surfing...
But I gotta surf.
I gotta win the surf thing. I'm doing human surf stuff. And they're arguing and they are not compromising. So they go to Australia. Marilia gets wiped out by Kylie because Kylie's a bitch.
And, yeah.
Marilia does like a cool move. Even though she didn't win the heat, but she, like, caught a lot of attention by reporters and by Georgie Majors, who is a spokesperson for a surf gear brand. And she's like, oh my God, we want to make you one of our spokespersons because you're so cool. We love your style. And Kylie
just does a handstand.
Yeah, she just does a handstand.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I don't know, but they love Barbie. They love Marilia.
And Kylie, Barbie, wink, wink.
Wink, wink. And Kylie's like, don't you guys want to talk to the real winner? It's me. Duh. And they're like, nah, you seem kind of like a bitch. So they go talk to Marilia some more. And they do a photo shoot. Kylie is approached by a fish named Alistair, who tells her that Marilia has the powers, mermaid powers that give her an advantage while surfing. Alistair convinces Kylie to steal Marilia's necklace, which Marilia has taken off for the photo shoot because, you know, she's doing a photo shoot for clothing and you have to be on brand. And Kylie gets the necklace. She follows the fish's instructions, puts it on, and turns into a mermaid. Alistair then lures Kylie underwater into a deep trench where Eris is still trapped in a whirlpool. From the last movie, a year later.
Yikes. That's scary.
I was like, how's she not dead? But okay, right? Sure. It's the Marilia. Keeps her going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Snouts, the sea lion, witnessed Kylie's transformation and secretly follows them. Alistair and Eris trick Kylie into entering the whirlpool, taking Eris's place and freeing her. Snouts then returns to the surface to Marilia, who's been searching for her necklace. Even without her necklace, Marilia can still breathe underwater. She follows Snouts to the trench and frees Kylie from the whirlpool, causing it to destabilize and self-destruct. Kylie is grateful and she apologizes for stealing the necklace, and then she takes it off to return it.
And almost dies.
This was so good. I saw her start and I was like,
No.
It's not going to work, hun. Oh my God. And she starts to take off the necklace to give it back to Marilia, and she gets legs and she realizes, oh, she can't breathe underwater. Duh. And she's real deep down there. So, you know, she quickly transforms back into a mermaid, and Marilia's like, no, it's cool. I can breathe underwater. I'm part mermaid. So this is fine. And they kind of make up, and Kylie promises to help Marilia stop Eris, who is her aunt, which I kept having to remind myself throughout this. Like, that's her family. How lame.
Yeah.
Eris and Alistair travel to Aquelia so that Eris can perform the changing of the tide ceremony herself. Along the way, they meet a group of large, powerful fish called stargazers. Eris threatens them with her new spell to bring people's worst fears to life, and they agree to follow and obey her. These fish were ugly, and I liked
them. So ugly.
I loved it.
They were good bad guys.
They were. They were. They looked just dumb enough.
Mm-hmm.
So she has a new, like, gang, basically, to help bully people around. And she has that new spell that makes people's worst fears come to life. I really liked
it. Yeah, that's what she was doing the whole time while she was in that whirlpool.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Just practicing new weird magic. Oh my god. If I'm missing anything that you want to comment on, please let me know.
No.
Because I'm breezing through this.
Yeah.
So Eris and her gang of fish reach Aquelia while Calissa and the ambassadors of the ocean, Mirabella, Katrin, Selena, and Renata, are all waiting for midday sun for the ceremony to begin. A fight ensues, and Eris manages to cast her spell on Calissa, whose tail becomes heavy and drags her down to the bottom of the ocean. Eris casts the spell on all the other ambassadors and puts them in a bubble trap. I liked that each ambassador had a different fear, and I liked how they all manifested. Like, one was...
Yeah.
one lady's fear was just like, oh man, I'm ugly.
She turned into like a monster.
Yeah, she's like a manatee with a messed up face and weird hair.
Yeah. She was cute.
Uh-huh. I liked it. But she could still like move around and stuff.
Yeah, she was fine.
One ambassador's fear was that she would like lose her courage, which like happened, and then she was a big fraidy cat. And another's was being confined in small spaces. So she was in like her own little bubble. And one's was losing her speed. So like she was really, really slow. But I liked it. I liked that the spell was different for each person. And I like mm-hmm. that. That was always one of my favorite things about Harry Potter. Like the Mirror of Erised would... show you your deepest desires, and then the Boggart would show you like your deepest fears. And I always thought it was interesting to see what that was for each person. So
yeah,
I liked it. It gave them a little bit more depth than they would have had just being in a Barbie movie in general.
Right.
Merlia, Kylie, and Snouts meet up with Zuma and Calissa. Zuma, that's the dolphin. Zuma tries to like help Calissa out of the bottom of the ocean, and it does not work. She's too heavy. Calissa and Merlia apologize to each other, and Calissa is unable to move because of the spell. Merlia decides to perform the ceremony in her place, accepting that in doing so she will have a tail permanently. Merlia, Kylie, Zuma, and Snouts go to Aquelia, where they manage to get past the stargazers and free the ambassadors. Merlia manages to get on the throne at the right time, but because she has legs, it doesn't work. Kylie passes the necklace to Merlia in time, and the ceremony is completed, undoing all of Eris's spells and giving Merlia a new tail. Eris tries to stop Merlia by entrapping her in her worst fear, but Merlia blocks the spell, rebounds it back to Eris, and gives her legs, her worst fear. The ambassadors then take Eris away to imprison her for good. I was like, boo, mermaid, human, like, what's the word? Not persecution. Prejudice.
Yes.
I was like, Eris, why are you human racist?
I know.
You speciest. The fight was, like, pretty involved.
It really was.
Yeah. Yeah.
They, like, gather the stargazers for surfing how they, like, stop them. They like wrap some seaweed around them and like surf on them. Mm-hmm. Rhea's like, I have an idea. Come on, Kylie, let's surf.
Let's do that thing we're both good at.
Yeah.
It was fun. I liked it. I liked that, you know, it was pretty like, I don't know. I thought it was good. Like them fighting over the throne and trying to get everything together. I don't remember how she deflects the spell, but she does, so I don't know.
Just her magic, right?
I have no idea.
Just her new Marilia mermaid power magic.
That could be. Hell yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
She gets, like, a transformation.
Yeah, she gets the transformation, and then Eris tries to, like, spell her, magic her. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're making sense. There is, like, a little bit of a dramatic moment where we see Kylie, like, falling away because she has legs and she can't breathe. And then Marilia swims over to her and gives her the necklace and she's okay again. And then Marilia, Kalissa, and Kylie swim to the surface in time for the surf meet finals, which I was like, okay, great. Kalissa gives Kylie the magical necklace since she has proven herself in keeping it after helping them. Although Marilia has accepted her duty, she wishes that she could, return to the human world again, and her legs magically return.
Wow.
Yeah, because she's part human and part mermaid, you idiots. Anyway.
Yeah, you dum-dums.
You slopers. Kalissa explains that the ceremony turns whoever does it into their true self, and Marilia's true self is both mermaid and human. Hooray.
Yay.
Great. Kylie and Marilia join the competition together, but when they surf, Marilia is distracted by her newfound ability to create Marilia when she touches water. Kylie wins the competition and is offered the wave crest spokesmanship by Georgie, everybody was happy. It was fine.
Yeah.
Kylie brings Marilia up on stage to share the trophy, and it ends with them dancing in front of a cheering crowd. Hooray.
Wee.
I really liked the shot of her dipping her hand in the water and creating Marilia.
Yeah.
Because she's being so happy, and it's like, oh, I loved it.
She doesn't even care about surfing anymore.
No, she's just happy to be alive, I guess.
I guess.
She did almost get murdered a couple times by her aunt, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
Pretty spooky.
Yeah. I gave
this one 4 out of 5 stars.
I think I did too. Let me look. 4 out of 5 stars, 10 out of 10 mermaid scales.
8 out of 10 mermaid scales.
I like a magical transformation, and I got to see.
I do too.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
There were human scenes though, so I was like,
no, that makes sense. Man, that's funny. Okay, cool. Anyway, it was great.
So that leaves our number one slot.
Yay! Drum roll.
Wee.
Oh, wait, no, it's the last one. There's no suspense.
Surprise!
Surprise.
Unanimously voted, and by unanimously, I mean both of us, the Pearl Princess.
Woo! Okay.
Woo!
This was Tangled but mermaids, and it was great.
Exactly.
It was perfect.
Literally the story of Tangled, but set underwater the whole time, might I add. Not a human in sight.
Not one human.
Nope. Entirely mermaids the entire time, and I really liked that. That has not happened yet this whole time.
That's true. Oh, man. You're really grounding me for my mermaid scale ratings.
I didn't realize we were doing it, differently.
I don't know.
It's so funny to me.
I just go off vibes, I guess.
Mermaids loved it.
Loved Beautiful it. They were mermaids.
On.
And I think a lot of it is like, oh, they were mermaids most of the time. Wow.
Yeah. And how much you liked the mermaid content.
I think so, too.
Which is fine.
So
mermaid scales for us.
Yeah. So it was really, it was great. There were a lot of this. It started off great. We started off in the ocean, and my notes begin, OMG, her tail is so pretty. I love pink and blue. And then interior designing with fish, 5 out of 10, 10 out of 10. And then what the fuck, this movie was good and had intrigue.
Yeah, it did. Mm-hmm. Like, we start off with our main character, Lumina, and she's a mermaid. And she's, like, off hanging off with her seahorse friend.
Seahorse.
She's a seahorse?
Yeah.
Okay. And she's, like, playing with her mermaid powers, which are pearl-based, which I thought was cute. I mean, obviously, it's Pearl Princess, whatever. But we haven't seen, like, pearl-based powers yet.
Never. Never have. It was great. Fun.
She like she can make them float and fly around and like
she can do make other them, things. She can change their color and I think she can make them light up.
Yeah, they can light up and she can like make just general magical things happen, but like through the pearls. Mm-hmm. Like as a conduit for her magic.
Yes. The pearls are my conduit. And I liked that her pearls were kind of kept in that little belt pouch. That it was shaped like a shell.
Yeah.
I liked it.
That was cute.
Yeah. I liked
the store of them.
I really liked her ocean dinner scene that she set. And then she had like a fake coronation.
Yeah.
It was super cute. And then her aunt, is that what she calls her?
Yeah, I think she calls her aunt. Because like she's not supposed to be using her magic.
No, she's not. She's not supposed to use it outside. She is told that, like, no one should ever find out that she has these powers. And her aunt is like, this is a super secret thing. You know, don't do it. And also, are you playing around with that little seahorse? And they're like, yeah, we're playing. And she's like, all right, you troublemakers. Be cool.
Yeah. It's her Aunt Scylla is her name. And yes. She looks like a carpet bag, and I thought her tail was so cool. It was, like, brown and, like, kind of patterned, and, like, she just looked like a river fish instead of, like, a brightly colored, like, pinky purple rainbow fish. Like, she was just very unique. Like, she was, like, an old magic witch hag, basically.
I agree. I liked it a lot. I was like, wow, she's, like, it's just, it's nice when you get that kind of variety because she looked kind of like a different kind of fish, you know?
Yeah.
But no, you're totally right. She looked like a river fish. She looked muddy.
Yeah.
And she's like.
So she was cool.
Yeah, she was cool. She was very cool. And I like that she was old because we don't really get a lot of like actual old people in movies unless they're villains, especially in Barbie.
Yeah.
I did pull up a summary. If we need it. So feel free to keep going.
Well, I think the king's brother comes to visit Scylla. And the king's brother's name is Kamigo. And he has a shark fin. And I liked him. He's our bad guy.
Yeah, I did like him. So here's the thing. Let me see. Let me just catch up to where we are. Yeah, she scolds her for using her magic. So it's Murray. The eel Murray. His name is like it's spelled like Moray, but with a U.
Oh, yeah.
So like the eel comes to visit and he's like, hey, Caligo wants your help again. And she's like, no, I'm done with that. I've quit that life. And I was like, what life? What happened? What?
Intrigue.
Whoa. And I liked this eel. He had a goofy voice, and so did the other eels, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm. They were designed well.
They were. But we also, like, before that happens, we do get a little bit of Caligo, King Nereus, and Queen Lorelei, like, appearing to the public in their mermaid royal capital. I don't think they name it in this one. I have tried to find it, but I don't think they do. So we get a little bit of like Caligo talking to the queen, king and queen, like, hey, you just got to name, you know, my son is the successor because your daughter's been, you know, missing for so long. She's, you know, she's probably dead. And they're like, oh my God, we're so sad about that. But yeah, it's been like 16 years, so I guess we will. And Caligo is also like, you know, we should give a royal ball to find Fergus a wife because, like, he doesn't have any game on his own. And we could do it, like, with the coronation and everything. And they're like, yeah, okay, sure. So we can see that he's, like, you know, machinationing he's got machinations that he's acting upon.
Yes, he's manipulating them.
Yeah. And then we get Murray going to visit Scylla, because at that coronation, Caligo's plan is that when they do the toast to Fergus, his dumb son who just wants to be a botanist, their drinks will be poisoned and they'll die. And then immediately Fergus will be king and then he'll have the power behind the scenes.
Which seems suspicious, but whatever.
I was like, he's going to kill his son.
That too.
Right? Oh, so anyway, Murray's like, you have to actually, because otherwise we'll kill you or whatever. And Scylla's like, well, can't argue with that. So she's like, all right, fine. I'll help you one last time. And she gets an invitation to the ball. Lumina swims in and overhears Murray talking about the castle. And Murray hears Lumina call Scylla aunt. And when Murray starts to ask for more information, Scylla throws him out. And he, like, called her hot.
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm. It was, like, weird.
He was skeezy.
Weird. But he's a villain, so this is fine.
Yeah, sure.
Lumina is really excited to hear about the castle. She asks Scylla to take her with her. Scylla says no. And she tells Lumina about burning fire coral, vampire squid, and poisonous stonefish, about how dangerous it is to go to the castle, and that's why she can't go. Disappointed, Kuda and Lumina start playing tail tag. Kuda accidentally knocks a potion bottle off a shelf during the game, and when Lumina goes to pick it up, she sees the invitation to the royal ball, which Scylla had dropped earlier. She tries to give it to her aunt, but Scylla's already left. She's out. And then Lumina is like, this is my opportunity. This is where I'm getting in here. And she's like, well, now I have to go. Otherwise, she can't get into the ball without this. So
convenient.
I gotta go. And Kuda's like, this is a terrible idea. Kuda's like, we're gonna die if we do this.
She's right.
I was very much like, I am the Lumina in this situation. Ashley's the Kuda. Like, no, really. It's dangerous, though. And I'm like,
what if we did it?
It's fine. It's probably fine. which is bad. It's not a great instinct for safety. Oh, man. It was great. So eventually they're like, yeah, okay, we're going to go. Hooray. Let's go. We're going to the city. We're going to see the castle. We're going to have a great time. Lumina noticed that every time Scylla goes to the city, she always comes from a shortcut. And it's like one certain way. And she finds the passage through the skeleton of a giant animal. And I think it's like a giant whale or eel. It looks like whale bones to me, but
yeah,
it was a really long passageway. Oh, you know what? And and it had really big teeth. So maybe it was some kind of giant moray eel.
Oh, there you go.
Like prehistoric. Oh,
yeah.
Really big.
Do they have bones or just cartilage?
Oh, I want to say they have bones. Yeah, they have bones.
Oh, man.
Yeah, bones. Super fun. So they go through this bony passageway. I think Kuda, maybe, I don't know if it's Kuda or if it was Lumina, but one of them like taps on one of the bones and it starts to crumble and the passageway starts to fall apart. And they have, you know, they make it out. They have a little bit of like, oh no, where's the invitation? And then when they get to the seaweed forest kelp thing, a narwhal takes the invitation,
just stabs it with their horn and swims away.
Yeah So they're like, oh shit, we gotta follow that narwhal. So they do, and in following the narwhal they find a stonefish's lair. It was homey, I think.
he lives there.
So the stonefish is like, ah, and she's like, hi. And he's like, aren't you scared? I'm a stonefish. And she's like, I mean, you're not going to kill us, right? And he's like, well, most people stay away from me because I'm so poisonous. And she's like, well, that's okay. I'll just make you not dangerous. And she puts pearls on all his spines. And then he can, you know, be around people without being super, super worried that they're going to die around him. And he was like, you know what? This is great. I'm going to come with you to the city and we're going to make new friends. And he's kind of insecure, I think. And Lumina's like, you seem great, so don't. And he's like, you know what? You're right.
I never thought of that before.
I never thought of it like that. Actually, okay.
Also, his name is Spike.
Yes, his name is Spike. He was a very good character. I liked Spike.
He was cute.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He also had that like muddy texture that Scylla has on her tail.
Yeah.
I liked it. Okay. Oh, back at the castle, Caligo and Fergus are arguing. Fergus doesn't want to go to the ball since he wants to be a botanist rather than a king. But Caligo tells him he's going to be the king, and that's the end of it. After which, Fergus sadly leaves for his waltz lessons. And I was like, how can you waltz with a tail? There's no stepping involved. It should,
suspicious.
Should be called something else. But whatever.
Yeah.
You could just say dance lesson. Whatever. Anyway. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
So right after Fergus goes away, Murray appears and informs Caligo that Scylla agreed to the plan. Caligo then reveals he plans to kill Scylla after the king dies of poisoning, so he will be hailed as a national hero. However, Caligo...
No!
I know. Sucks. Murder. However, Caligo has one concern. His son, who is not very eligible, still needs to find a wife. Murray brings up Scylla's niece as an option, which raises Caligo's suspicions. Murray mentions that the niece is blonde, about 17, and that it's an interesting coincidence that, like, the princess disappeared around the same time and was also blonde.
So weird.
Caligo asks Murray to go bring the girl to him, which is a very villain thing to say. Bring the girl to me.
I love to it. To me.
So back at Lumina's home, Murray appears with his sidekicks. You know, they're trying to go get Lumina. But his sidekicks' names are Garth and Wormwood. I think, I swear, one of them has like a Brooklyn accent. Or something like it.
It's sure.
There's a weird accent involved and I was here for it. It was fun. And they were like different colors and the other eels were slightly different shapes too, which was nice.
Yeah.
So upon reading the letter that Lumina left for Scylla, Murray realized she isn't home, but roots through Scylla's things anyway. He finds the bracelet that Scylla hid earlier, and it's like a bracelet identifying Lumina as the princess. Back in the kelp forest, Lumina and Kuda are laughing at one of Spike's jokes when Kuda is caught by snarly kelp. Lumina removes a pearl from one of Spike's spikes, and he cuts the kelp with his spike, setting Kuda free. Kuda moans that she doesn't think that they will make it to the city, but Lumina shows her they're already there.
Yeah, surprise.
It's right here. Which I was also like, yeah, the city's pretty close. You could have moved a little farther away. But I guess she had to stay close so she could sell potions.
Sure.
Whatever. In the city, Spike starts hiding, but Lumina tells him he shouldn't. Spike, afraid of being feared, comes out anyway, and a few mer people compliment his pearls. He's like immediately well liked by people, and I was like, this is great. Good job, Spike.
Friendship.
Well, and he's probably pretty rare because he, you know, they don't want to like hurt people, so they probably don't come to the city very much. So he's like an interesting fish. He has interesting pearls. You know, it's all great. Then Kuda sees Scylla in the distance. Lumina wants to explain what they're doing in the city and bringing her invitation, but Kuda's worried and pulls Lumina into Salon Le Maire to hide. There, Lumina is mistaken for a job applicant by Madame Ruckus, who is an octopus, and she is literally doing 8 things at once constantly. It's perfect. I loved her.
She was great.
Yeah. I liked that she got a job. I thought that was fun.
Yeah. She came to the city and immediately got a job as a hairstylist. And she like uses, she's trying to like a lot of the other girls in the salon are like doing the same hairstyles because they're popular. And Lumen is like, what if I did something else? And she's like, I don't know. She's like, just dress me. And she like uses her magical pearl powers to do this girl's hair in like a different way. And she like puts pearls in it and she loves it.
And she matches
everybody in the salon.
Yes, it's perfect. perfect. And she matches the pearls to their eyes. So it's like unique to them.
Oh, I didn't remember that or maybe notice that.
She changes the color. And either it matched their eyes or it would match their tail. It was one or the other. I know it matched something.
Yeah.
But you're so right. It's beautiful. Beautiful and perfect.
Yeah. She becomes like the most popular stylist. Like everybody wants to come to her and she's like has a thriving business now.
Immediately great at everything. And I was like, this is my dream.
Yeah.
Just immediately right? The best at it. And everybody likes you. Mm-hmm. It was yep. Great.
That's what I want.
I'm not ashamed of that either. So Madame Ruckus sees her talent and she's like, this is great. I've hired a great person. And she introduces her to the other two employees, Sandrine and Cora. Cora is more like demure. She has like strawberry blonde hair. She's a little bit more like, not Molly. What's her name? Mabel? Do you know
her? From what?
From Barbie, the show.
Oh.
Midge. Yep. She's a little bit like Midge. She's like a little awkward, yeah. A little quiet. And then Sandrine is a bitch.
Yeah.
A brunette bitch.
Yeah. She's like, don't get in my way. Stay away from my clients.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just, I rule this place.
I love it. So Lumina changes it up and everybody loves it. It's great. And she is thriving in this new position. Back at the
castle.
So good. Back at the castle, Caligo reminds the Trident squad about the plan for the ball. So the guards, because he's the like general, he's the military leader, the guards are in on his murder plot coup to overthrow the king and queen. And I was like, there should be some more opposition to this, but okay.
For reals.
Anyway. That's fun. Right. Maybe there's a secret service kind of thing that answer only to him. I don't know. After they leave, Scylla arrives. Caligo tells Scylla the plan and mentions that he knows that she has a niece. Scylla angrily replies that she also has a goldfish and saying, what of it? And Caligo tells her to give them both his regards. Meanwhile, Lumina's second customer loves her new hairstyle too. Sandrine also tries something different, and Cora paints her customer's nails with baby dolphins for the first time. So they're all trying new stuff. They're all inspired, making art. That's great. Murray returns from his trip and tells Caligo that nobody was home, but he shows Caligo the bracelet that he found. Since the bracelet has the royal crest, Caligo knows that Scylla's quote-unquote niece is actually the lost princess. He angrily tells Murray that they must get rid of her. He orders Murray to gather his cronies and find her. Prince Delphin, who has just arrived into the city, has trouble with directions, and also he has a dolphin sidekick. So Prince Delphin and his dolphin, great.
Yeah, which we don't know he's a prince at first.
I thought we did. I think I did. I don't know why, though.
Oh.
I think he says something. He's like, all right, great, we've arrived into the city for the ball. Maybe
we do.
I don't know.
Because then he gets mistaken somehow for the delivery boy for the salon.
It's because
he like.
It's because Madame Ruckus is doing 8 things at once, and she's like, "Oh, yeah, a man with arms. Here, take this inside."
Yeah. So he like delivers packages and like sees Lumina or something. He's just like, hey.
Yeah. Yeah. Lumina's like at the front desk and she's like, oh my God, is that the hair gel? And he's like, well, I don't know. And she's like, I don't know. She says something. He says, I don't know. It's, oh no. He's like quippy. He's like, I don't know. It's my first day on the job. And she's like, oh my God, it's mine too. And they have like a little moment where they're like, you're cute and hot and we're both fun and roll with the punches.
Wow. I'm cute and hot and you're cute and hot.
Basically. Crazy. Wow. And I think he says like, oh, I hope you go to the ball later. I hope I see you there. And she's like, oh, that would be nice.
Okay.
And she's like, oh.
Tea.
Oh, I just love that the salon is called Salon La Mer. I think yes. That's great. Their conversation is cut short when the dolphin hurries Delphin along. Caligo enters the salon with Fergus, and he talks to Lumina directly. And he's like, hey, this kid needs to look better. Do what you can. And Fergus is like, oh. But he also notices Cora and falls in love with Cora immediately. Oh, it's so funny. After Lumina finishes with Fergus's hairstyle, he goes from a bowl cut to a standard man cut. Like, you know, short
like
on
a small pompadour.
Short on the sides, long on top. Great.
Yep. Great. Swooshing.
Swoosh. It's fine.
He doesn't look that different.
No, no. He looks the same. If he had, like, a more dramatic transformation, I would have been like, eh. But I liked that it was just, you know, he's a little bit more put together. He doesn't look...
Yeah, she just gives him some, like, compliments.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice. So... Lumina finishes Fergus's hairstyle. She introduces him to Cora, and they get along pretty well. He asks her about plants, and she's like, I don't know plants. I'm a nail tech. And he's like, but you painted that flower. Or, like, you have those flowers on the counter. It's silly. But she finds him, like, awkwardly charming, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, just puppy dog love. Pretty girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Madame Ruckus informs her employees that she got invitations for the royal ball for the whole staff, and the salon all go shopping. Everything is sold out, though, and Cora has nothing to wear. So Lumina gives Cora her outfit and buys some fabric to make a new outfit for herself. I think she uses her pearl magic, right? To make her little dress?
She sews part of it.
Oh, okay, cool. It's nice. I like it. I like.
Yeah, it's very cute.
Mm-hmm. I like that they would pick up things and hold them in, like, just in front of their bodies, and someone would just rip the outfit out of their hands.
It's like shopping on what's the day after Thanksgiving? Black Friday.
Oh,
sales.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. This is their Black Friday.
Yeah,
oh, it's so good. So they're at the ball, and Fergus starts talking to Cora. But Caligo pulls him away, asking why he isn't dancing. It's like, man, can you not recognize game? Like,
right.
He's talking with a girl.
Yeah.
Shut up. Anyway.
Not a royal, though, so.
Why would it? Anyway. For me, it would be like, why would it matter? Let's just make her a stupid duchess of some stupid land and call it right. A day. Nobody else is going to be interested in your weird son.
Yeah.
So anyway, oh, this is why it happens. I think I had the same thought process when I was watching it as it was playing. I was like, why is he taking him away from that girl? But then we needed Caligo to notice the flower that Fergus is wearing.
Because yeah. It stinks.
Yeah. Yep. Caligo notices that his flower has a bad smell. And Fergus says, oh, it's coming from the sulfur lily. It's beautiful and rare. And Caligo is like, it stinks. And he takes it off and throws it on the ground. And then Fergus goes off to dance with Cora, and Cora says that she thought his flower was beautiful. Maybe,
to be fair, it probably smells like farts.
It probably smelled terrible. But, like, sulfur? Yeah, no, it smells like rotten eggs.
Yeah.
Gross.
Egg farts, man.
She's being very nice to him, and I appreciate that.
She kind of starts, like, I don't know if she tells... Barbie, what's her name?
Sandrine?
Lumina.
Oh, Lumina.
I think she tells Lumina at one point. She's like, I don't know. He's, like, kind of nice.
Oh, yeah. So it's when she and Sandrine are talking. Sandrine is like, oh, are you going to come eat this food with us? And she's like, oh, I think I want to talk to him. And she's like, ew. And she's like, I kind of like him.
He's pretty cute. I don't know.
I don't know. Me bringing every boyfriend I've ever had to you. I don't know. I kind of like him.
No. Only Michael has passed.
Only Michael is acceptable. Truly.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. So, Lumina bumps into Caligo, who welcomes her and thanks her for styling Fergus's hair. Delphin comes by and asks her to dance. Lumina overhears Caligo calling Delphin Prince, and they chat while dancing. While Meanwhile, Maria comes by and tells Caligo that nearly every crawly creature in the ocean is looking for a girl named Lumina. And Caligo asks Murray if the girl dancing with Delphin is the princess. I don't think he knew her name before, but he heard her name, like, just now. And Murray is like, yeah, that's her name. That's her. Yeah, that's her. So Caligo's like, son of a bitch.
Idiot.
Yep. I kind of liked it, though, because it was, like, the lack of communication that kept him from figuring it out, which is usually the case in every job I've ever had.
Yep.
Problems come from lack of communication. Anyway, after Lumina promises Delphin the next dance, Caligo suddenly joins and, like, cuts in. She tries to be like, oh, but Delphin, I promise the next dance. And he's like, I don't give a shit. You're dancing with me.
He was being creepy.
Yeah, he's being very aggressive, which makes sense. When she tells him that her aunt raised her, he takes her outside the castle where Murray captures her in a sack. Kuda comes out and is able to evade Caligo, but she is kicked into another sack by Murray. After this, Caligo and Spike run into each other in the ballroom, and one of his pearls comes off on his spines. Like, they bump into each other, and one of his pearls gets bounced off.
Yeah.
After each unsuccessfully... Oh, they... Sorry. I just said this line. Anyway. He knocks off one of Spike's pearls, and Caligo hears Spike grumbling and saying the word poisoned, because he's like, oh my god, he's so rude, somebody could get poisoned. And Caligo's like, what do you know about the poison? Spike says Caligo was almost caught by a poisonous spike. The eels take Lumina and Kuda to the dungeon, and the eels start playing cards. Lumina uses her pearl powers while they're distracted to get the keys. She then throws the pearls at the eels, tricking them into fighting. And they beat each other up, and then they free themselves and swim away.
Yeah, that's a Barbie way to get out of a dungeon.
I loved it. I was so into it. It was, I don't know, it was goofy, and I liked it.
Yeah.
And we get to see more pearl magic. I liked that she made them into, like, one little string to pick the keys up.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, you're thinking with portals. You're doing it.
Yes. Creative.
Meanwhile, Scylla serves the royal party their nectar. Caligo becomes suspicious of his glass and starts to sniff it. Here's the thing. If you can't trust the person that you've hired to poison somebody, maybe do it yourself.
Here's the thing. How are we drinking liquids underwater?
Oh, I mean, they can be different densities.
Yeah, but they're, like, flinging these cups around and, like...
You're not wrong.
I just feel like it doesn't work, you know?
No, you're not wrong. I always go back to those hypersalinic sea basins and how much denser that water is. And it looks like an underground river just because of, like, the salinity content. So, I don't know. That's I always just assume it's just more viscous, you know?
Yeah, sure. It's like gooey wine.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. They slurp it.
Yeah. Like Jell-O.
Okay, so he's suspicious that Scylla has poisoned his glass instead of the king's. And he starts to switch the cups around, and Scylla doesn't react at all. She kind of just like... gives him like a little whatever.
She's gonna poison them all.
Yeah, right. Thinking he may have been wrong, Caligo switches them back, and Scylla still doesn't react. Caligo tries to figure out if his nectar is poisoned or if Nerys is poisoned. Knowing Scylla is in trouble, Lumina rushes back to the ballroom with Kuda, but they're seen by the Trident squad guards, who chase after them. Scylla, meanwhile, overhears Nerys and Lorelai grieving for their lost daughter after, I know, yeah. Does she also see the portrait of the baby princess at this point?
Yes.
I think so. She's like, huh, that baby has a tail that looks like mine, and also a face that looks like mine, and also hair that looks like mine.
I think she does. Yeah. She has like a Rapunzel moment.
Yeah. Like,
A baby with the same features as me that's the same age as me.
Weird. Weird. Huh. Weird.
I'm the lost princess.
Oh, interesting. So after she hears the steward say something belongs to the king and queen and she shouldn't hold on to things forever, Scylla is surprised. The steward was talking about the nectar, and then Scylla realizes it's also true about Lumina. Because this whole movie, I was like, why didn't she give the princess back? And I was like, oh, she just loved her. And I thought that was nice.
Yeah, well, because Caligo hired her to kill her.
Yes.
And she just kept her instead. So she couldn't really be like, hey, I was gonna kill your daughter, but then I didn't. You're welcome.
That's also a great point. But she like took really good care of her. Like you see her little bedroom kind of in Scylla's house, and she's got like a really cute vanity, and it's like clear that she's, you know, well taken care of. But I was also, I don't know, I was like, oh, a little touched.
Yeah.
Which is silly, but this movie's good.
No, it's not silly.
No,
it is good.
This movie's genuinely good. Okay. Scylla tries to grab Caligo's nectar, and she says she's done poisoning people. But Caligo realizes that he was right all along, and his drink was poisoned. Scylla is unable to wrench the cup from Caligo's grip, and Caligo suddenly realizes that Scylla might still be tricking him and is unsure about whose cup is poisoned. I love that. The king and queen arrive. Nereus. I don't know how to say that. The king. The king speaks up about presenting the Pearl of the Sea to Fergus. It's like the necklace that the heir gets. He does so and prepares a toast. Just as he is about to drink, Caligo knocks Nereus's cup over and offers his own. Scylla tries to stop Nereus from drinking, but is blocked by a soldier. Luckily, Lumina arrives just in time and knocks the drink out of Nereus's hand. Hooray. She did it.
Yay.
She avoided murder. Hooray. I feel like I was going to say something about the cups. Yeah. The poisoned or not poisoned was giving very like Princess Bride.
Yeah, it was.
but he's not as smart as a Sicilian, so.
Yes.
He's dumb. Despite his plan having been ruined, Caligo refuses to give up. He claims Lumina tried to attack the king and tells the guards to arrest her. Scylla tells everyone that Lumina saved the king and that she, Scylla, put the poison in the cup. Ba ba ba. But before she can say Caligo forced her to do so, Caligo pushes her onto Spike's bear spike, his poisonous spike. Infected with stonefish venom, Scylla falls to the ground. Lumina cradles Scylla in her arms, begging that she be okay. I was shocked.
I thought she might die.
I know! It was sad. Scylla uses this moment to tell Lumina the truth, that she took Lumina from her parents long ago to save her. After this, Scylla falls unconscious. Lumina asks Spike if he has if there's an antidote to his venom, and he says, unfortunately, there's only one known, you know, antidote, and it's the sulfur lily, but it's so rare that he's never seen one. Cora asks Fergus if he knows the plant, but a glare from Caligo prompts Fergus to say no. With Cora's little smile and gesture, like she's like, are you sure? Just silently supporting. Fergus is like, you know what? Fuck you, Dad.
I do know.
Yeah, I do know this flower. And actually, I have one right over there. So he goes and grabs the sulfur lily that Caligo threw on the ground earlier. With the plan about to be totally ruined, Caligo picks up the unconscious Scylla and orders the guards to grab Lumina. Madame Ruckus and Delphine stop the guards while Lumina pursued Caligo and uses her pearls to lock the gate before Caligo can reach it. She then uses all the pearls in the ballroom to trap Caligo and ensnare Scylla away from him. She like uses her pearls to like tie him up, basically. Lumina puts the sulfur lily petals in Scylla's mouth and she wakes up, cured, immediately.
Yay!
Hooray! Perfect. Scylla finally reveals that Caligo was the one who ordered her to poison the king and, you know, to poison Lumina in the first place. Caligo tries to claim innocence, but Fergus backs Scylla up shoving his mouth in the process with a plant he ruined from his earlier. Oh, I see. He shoves a plant in his mouth to shut up Caligo, so he can back up Scylla. Yes. The queen asks Lumina if she has always been able to use the pearl magic, and Lumina says, "Yeah, it's like my thing." And the queen reveals that she has the same powers. The king reveals that the magic is a royal gift. And Scylla reveals that Lumina is the lost princess and tells the remaining part of the story. Years ago, Caligo paid Scylla to kill the baby princess. She couldn't do it, but instead she kept the baby with her and told Caligo she was dead. As the child grew, she could have given her back to her rightful parents, but she had become too attached to the baby.
Okay. Fair, I guess.
I guess. But, like, give that baby back.
Yeah, that's not your baby.
That's not your baby. but, I mean, she was a poisoner before, so.
Yeah, she... We, like, weirdly forgive her at the end.
I 100% forgive her at the end. This woman is redeemed in my eyes.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Fergus gives the Pearl of the Sea necklace back to the king, who then puts it on Lumina. The medallion glows and transforms Lumina's tail, revealing her as the true heir. Lumina, Cuda, Scylla accept the castle as their new home, and the ball continues. Madame Ruckus literally throws Caligo out of the castle gate. And they
yeet.
They end with, like, a little bit of a song, and then they do, like, a family portrait moment, and I tried to pause it and, like, get a photo because it was super cute. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it was cute.
And I liked her tail transformation.
Yeah. And her and Delphin get together at the end, kind of, don't they?
Yeah, they, like, that's what it is. They're dancing together at the end. Yeah, and then they do the family portrait.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When it cuts away, we see the portrait on the wall with all the other family royal portraits.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also this little yellow and purple fish. And he basically like waves goodbye. That fish is in the beginning of Dolphin Magic. And that fish, I think, is in A Mermaid Tale as well.
Yeah, we saw him a couple times and I was confused.
Yeah, I was like, is this fish the secret narrator?
Right? Like, what are you doing here?
I was like, okay, fish, go off, I guess. It was fun. It was fun for me to, like, find him, you know? Or, like, notice he was still there.
Yeah, because Murray pops up for a second in one of the Dolphin Tale movies.
He does. I want to say it's in the beginning when they're doing that ocean shot.
Mm-hmm.
So, perfect. 10 out of 10. Oh, man, I can't find... I thought I took a picture of that still, but I guess I didn't. I don't have it in my photos. Dang. But no, that's it. So The Pearl Princess is the best mermaid movie that Barbie has put out so far.
Absolutely. Yeah. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
I gave it a 5 out of 5.
Here's the thing.
I gave it a 5 out of 5.
Comparing it to Barbie movies, it's a 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
But, like, I keep telling myself, like... We're ranking, like, movie rankings. Like, is it, like, Jurassic Park 5 out of 5? These rankings are skewed. It's Barbie movie skewed, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the best. It's the best mermaid Barbie movie, so I give it 5 out of 5 and 10 out of 10 scales.
I'm going to give it 5 out of 5, and I did give it 10 out of 10 scales because they were all mermaids all the time.
Perfect. We'd love to see it.
That's what we want.
Yay! Man, what a ride. What a Barbie film adventure.
Yeah, so if you want to watch any Barbie mermaid movies, here's your guide.
Here's the watch order.
Yep, the definitive ranking from the experts.
Self-ascribed experts.
Yeah.
Ooh, one of the alternate titles for the film before it was released was Barbie and in the Pearl Princess and Barbie: Pearl of the Sea.
Oh.
So you know how Barbie does those little vlog videos?
Mm-hmm.
In the video ALS Ice Bucket Challenge, water is poured over Barbie and she transforms into Lumina.
Oh my god!
Isn't that fun?
That's so nice.
Yeah, I love it.
Cute.
I agree. They play a lot of Vivaldi in this too. That's funny.
Interesting.
Yeah. The music that we hear at the ball when Cora and Fergus are dancing is Spring Movement 1 Allegro from Antonio Vivaldi's The Four Seasons. And the music that we hear when Lumina is dancing with Delphin is Autumn Movement 1 Allegro from Antonio Vivaldi's The Four Seasons, which is very interesting. All
classy.
Right. Well, I love it. Oh, we get to see, so you know how in 3D animation or like computer generated animation they have character models for for characters? We get to see Nori's character model, Prince Nori, in the Salon La Mer in the background.
Amazing.
Super fun. I like that they throw in little little Easter eggs almost.
Yeah.
Oh my god, hold on. There's a novel.
What?
Yes, there is a Pearl Princess novel. Wow, interesting. Wow.
Maybe we'll review it.
Girl, it took so long to do the first book review. I mean, we can do anything.
I'm going to do better this time.
No, 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 no. It would have taken me... If I hadn't been forced on a plane... It would have taken me 8 weeks to finish.
That's fair.
Yeah. It was only because I had 4 hours, or no, it was more like 5 hours of time that I had to not mentally be in a plane that I was able to read it so quickly. Yeah. So let us know if you like it. We always appreciate a review. Be a friend, tell a friend. Ocean fact. Pearls are the only gemstone to come from a living thing, oysters. And natural pearls are one of the world's rarest jewels. Less than one in every 10,000 wild oysters contain pearls. And as they, you know, get more popular, oyster beds start to be overfished. And we don't see them as often in the wild, which makes the pearls more rare.
That checks out.
But there are oyster farms. It doesn't always happen, but like, you know, they try to farm it when they can. And it's estimated that 99% of pearls on the market today are cultured, which, you know, is that, you know, a farmed oyster. Because it's hard. Well,
that's good. I'm glad we have a way to, like, manufacture, quote unquote, them instead of just terrorizing the sea.
Yeah. It's all. A lot of ocean fun facts end with, and we ruined it. So
it would have been fun, but
you know this cool thing, we broke it. Whoops!
Sorry.
Sorry. Whoopsie. Oh boy. So, what do you want to review next?
Yes, thank you for that lovely ocean fact. My choice for our next review is the Disney Channel original movie, The 13th Year.
Ah, yes! Oh my god! Oh, I'm so excited for this.
An OG, one of my favorites as a child. Like, when I was, like, 10 or whatever, I was gonna name my son Cody after the main character of this movie. Like, I was obsessed.
I'm so glad that is no longer your top choice. No. That is so funny. I don't think I knew that.
That was pretty early. Okay, I think that was okay. Before we met. Like, I was like a child.
Like a child.
Yeah.
We weren't middle schoolers, you know, aged and mature.
Right.
Oh, that's perfect. I love it. Oh my God. And I feel like that's so good for September, because September is the month of like back to school nostalgia.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm.
It's all coming up us.
Yes.
Everything's going our way.
Yeah.
Woohoo. All righty. Well, I've been Audrey.
I've been Ash.
It's time to go back into the ocean.
Gotta go. Bye.
Bye.
Splash. Splash. Splash.